Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, voice noters. Well, well, well. Sometimes it's just about fate, isn't it? Sometimes it's just about fate, regardless of all the talent, all the pre-planning. Sometimes just the fates decide what's going to happen. Take this latest Villa voice note before that fantastic, remarkable roller coaster quarterfinal that I'm going to talk about now. This week's voice note was going to be potentially about how I saw a fish that looked a little bit like Sasa Cercic, or how I want John McGinn to become my new bestie, but there's only one show in town, isn't there? I've just returned from Villa Park. Yep, I know the match wasn't at Villa Park. I know it was played in Lille. I've had the next best thing going and watching it with my son, Samuel, and his mate, Jack, and loads of other Villa fans in one of the posh lounges in the Trinity Road stand at Villa Park. Just absolutely magnificent, like I said at the start of this recording. It's fate, I think. As you'll know, anybody who's listened to me in the past, you'll know I'm a natural-born cynic, always expect the worst. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure I expected Villa to win at any stage of that game, possibly momentarily before Lille scored their first goal, and possibly when we took a 3-1 lead in the penalty shootout. But I don't know, talk about living on your nerves. It was just absolutely fantastic. I'm not really sure where to begin with it, because it was such a crazy, topsy-turvy, up-and-down match. I don't know, is our name on the cup? I think it might be. I really don't want to jinx it, and I really don't want to tempt fate, but even if it's in fate pencil, very, very faint pencil, rather than indelible ink at the moment, you know, when you come through a game like that, when, let's face it, Lille have given us the two biggest tests in this competition, first at Villa Park last week, then again at their place. I don't know what it was like watching on TNT, but of course, at Villa, on the screens at Villa, it's on Villa on AVTV, or Villa TV, or whatever it's called nowadays. We were getting the pictures in, the French pictures, but we were getting Mark Regan's commentary, and I think Mark Regan was just, you know, a couple of hundred yards away from us, sitting in a box, in a booth, in the North Stand, rather than being over in France. But it was really weird, because we were getting, obviously, Rigo's, how shall I say, slightly biased, partisan commentary, as you'd expect on Villa media channels. But we were getting the French pictures, so didn't really get a sense of what it was like amongst the Villa away fans. So this makes me sound horrible, but I did take some delight in some of those, you know, some of the French fans in tears when we emerged victorious from that penalty shootout. But I've had to live and experience what it was like from the Villa fans' point of view. I've just had to see some of the videos and photos and scenes, and limbs, I think they call it now, don't they? On social media from some of the travelling Claret and Blue Army. So it's an absolute joy to behold. You see games like that one, and all of a sudden you think, well, maybe, just maybe, it's destined to be us. it was what we'd all been saying. It was what Unai Emery would have been saying pre-match, that don't let them get that first goal. Got it within 15 minutes and then gave ourselves a bit of a mountain to climb because they were well and truly up for it, having scored that late goal to get himself back in the tie at Villa Park last week. And when they've gone and nodded that second one in, another kind of set-piece frailty, I don't know, time just seemed to speed up for me then in terms of, you know, we're running out of time, we're not going to get back into it. As much as we hoped and dreamed that this would be it, our time is done. Lo and behold, you know, there were several heroes tonight, I thought, and we'll go through a few of them. But I think fair play to Matty Cash. Probably gets a little bit of stick from myself and other Villa fans. You know, we talk about whether we need an upgrade in that position and whether he's good enough technically, tactically to match our ambitions. But considering he's come back from injury, to pop up with that vital, vital goal in the closing stages of the game, remarkable, absolutely remarkable. Probably cursing him a little bit earlier in the game when he had a great chance from a nice move. I think it was early in the second half, wasn't it? From probably Villa's slickest move of the game. John McGinn's backheeled it into his path and then he smashed it into the side netting, I think. So cursing him then, but to pop up with that goal. I think, what have they been dubbed lately when John Duran and Nicolò Zaniolo, the agents of chaos, I think. And it was John Duran's presence, I think, that created that chaos for the equaliser. Was it 87 minutes in the end, just when we thought it was escaping us, just when we thought our European adventure was over until next season? You know, John Duran's caused a bit of chaos. The defender and the goalkeeper have got in each other's way. And then Matty Cash has kept his nerve to smash a glorious, glorious equaliser home. And, you know, we might not have been in France to experience it live, but I'm telling you, for what started out as quite a quiet, quaint evening inside the 1982 lounge at Villa Park, I think it was, it just, you know, it exploded, took the roof off the place. And, you know, the chant started, the celebration started. And that was such a moment, such a pivotal moment in Aston Villa's season. Just phenomenal. And the fact that the referee, you know, he was a card happy referee, wasn't he? I think probably at risk of having more bookings than the Claret and Blue live show, which is coming soon to a venue near you. He was yellow card happy. I think even Unai Emery got a booking, didn't he, during that game. The fact that the referee could see that the two Lille players had impeded each other. I was panicking, really, really panicking, that VAR was going to come and do for us. But fortunately, the goal stood. Nothing like how nervous I was during the penalty shootout. Stating the obvious here, we're through to our first semi-final in Europe if we discard the Intertoto trophy, which few people regard as a proper European trophy. But we're through to our first semi-final since 1982. I think we all know the story of how that unfolded. But for Villa to go through the pressure, the agonising pressure of that penalty shootout, just bizarre, just remarkable, just all the emotions under the sun.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This squad, bless them, are absolutely creaking, aren't they? You know, if you look down the bench, by the time we got to extra time and penalties, there's a few rookies on there, a couple of goalkeepers on the bench, but there wasn't much left in terms of senior options. So the fact that this team and this squad are overcoming all these setbacks and they're going to the well, I suppose is the cliche, going to the well each time and still finding the energy and the endeavour to get us through massive matches like that is a massive credit to them. There are heroes all over the place, and we're witnessing something really special at the moment with this group of players under this coach. So Tielemans tucking his penalty away, Cash scoring his penalty, Watkins and Louise, and you know, we can forgive Leon Bailey, can't we, for missing his when it was such a kind of positive outcome in the end. But I just wanted to talk about Watkins as well next, because, you know, I tweeted at the weekend when he'd not only scored that second goal at Arsenal, but was able to put the pundits in their place. I think he's had a pop at Simon Jordan and a pop at Troy Deeney. The mentality of this guy now, and I think we saw that in spades tonight. We really saw what he's made of. You know, that penalty shootout was such a random experience. You know, when Watkins has been made to wait for ages with all that was going on around him, and then I think another ball was thrown. He had to wait ages for the ball to be delivered to him, and then another ball was shown on the pitch. But just tunnel vision and just stuck away a beautiful penalty. I suppose the right way to conclude this is to talk about Emi Martinez. You know, the world's number one, the scourge of France, football's greatest mischief maker, professional sports leading shit house, whatever you want to call him, Emi Martinez. What a man. How much would we hate him if we were up against him? How much do we love him because he's one of our own? Just brilliant, absolutely brilliant. He was the man who, I was going to say single-handedly, but he used his hands and his feet and all of his body. He was the man who kept that first leg alive for us. I know we won that leg 2-1, but if it wasn't for his brilliance, I don't think we'd have taken a 2-1 lead into the second leg. But just to see him, you know, he got booked for time wasting early on in the game. You're just thinking, oh no, we just don't need another booking. And then lo and behold, he's up to all his kind of mischief. He's playing mind games with the opposition. He's winding up the fans. He's shushing the fans after his first penalty shootout save. And all of a sudden, I'm not sure whether it was like this, whether you were watching it in the stadium or whether you were watching it on TV or in the pub or whatever it was. Probably still be on TV, wouldn't it be, if it was in the pub? It got everybody flicking through the rule books and thinking, well, can somebody get booked in normal time and then booked in a penalty shootout? Does that mean he's going to be red carded? You can't make a substitute, I shouldn't have thought, in a penalty shootout. So what are we going to do? Who's going to go in goal? Is Matty Cash going to go in goal? Is Ezri Konsa going to go in goal? Now, fortunately, now we've all brushed up on the rules, we know that you're allowed to carry a yellow card from the game and get another one in the penalty shootout. But it would have just been, you know, it'd have been so Villa, wouldn't it, if we'd have lost our penalty saving, goal protecting talisman for standard Emi Martinez-ing the opposition. But that was a relief when the yellow cards come out and we're thinking, blimey, it's gone back in the ref's pocket. What's happening now? So we're relieved when Martinez took his place back in goal to make that crucial save. Just a remarkable, remarkable game. Just so proud of this team, so proud of the players, so proud of the manager, so proud of the fan base. You know, listen, it could still slip away from us. Sorry to be the doommonger. It could still slip away from us in terms of, I said our name might be on the trophy, but that's not guaranteed. With the way the coefficient's gone, it looks like we need to finish in the top four to guarantee Champions League. So that's not guaranteed. But regardless of what happens during the crunch final running of this season, we are witnessing something special, something the likes of which I've never been able to enjoy and savour in my lifetime. Remember, I'm not quite old enough to have really, really appreciated the European Cup win. I know I look it, but I'm not. So these are our history makers. We're on the verge of something truly, truly special, which brings me to saluting, hailing, eulogising about the main man, Mr. Unai Emery. I got the sense that we were a bit ragged during that game. It was a bit chaotic. You know, we rode our luck massively, but I imagine Unai Emery, despite the way he jumps around an adorable fidget on the sidelines, I imagine Unai Emery still had faith, still believed, and was capable that the magic that he's able to instill on clubs in European competitions, and particularly the magic that he's brought to Aston Villa. You know, it was Ron Saunders, wasn't it, with a famous kind of, would you bet against us? I'm not sure you bet against Unai Emery, and the feel-good factor and the confidence and the winning mentality that he's managed to instill in this group of players and this football club and this fan base in such a short time. And Christ, After a very emotional monologue for the last however long, I'm going to bring everybody back down with a really, really cringeworthy joke. I've had this from my dad jokes book, the Laugh Out Loud edition, which I think might be false advertising. But where do typists go to get drunk? The space bar. Listen, sorry, forgive me. We're in the semi-final of a European competition. Up the bloody villa. Come on, me babbies. Love you loads. Ta-ra a bit.